Hello, Eric. How you doing?
Don't ask me such things.
How you doing?
I'm always doing terrible.
Welcome to...
Especially now.
Welcome to the Weird Science New 52 Review Podcast. This is Episode 11, Green Arrow, Volume 1, The Midas Touch. Is it the touch too much, Eric?
I don't think it's a touch enough.
Was three pages a touch too
much? I think I was touched in the head, or at least the writers were.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just give the credits and then we'll get into it. Written by J.T. Kroll, Dan Jurgens, and Keith Giffen. So right there you see three writers. Now, Dan Jurgens, for the most part, seems to have been just co-plotter.
And he was doing layouts for a bit.
Yeah, and layouts
co-plotted
and stuff like that.
I
would think that
basic,
if I was him, I'd fucking wash my hands of this. Art by Dan Jurgens, Ignacio Calero, George Perez, Ray McCarthy, Tanya and Richard Ori, David Barron, and Rob Lee. And Eric, this is what DC had to say when this trade was released. In this title, collecting the first six issues of DC Comics, the New 52 event, Oliver Queen is armed with cutting-edge weaponry and illegally gained intel, courtesy of his team at Q-Corps. As Green Arrow, he's shooting first and asking questions later as he travels the world to bring outlaws to justice and breaking every law there is in the process. Now, I will tell you, that's about as generic as you're ever going to get for a trade paperback description, and I don't know how much better they can do. We talked last episode about Stormwatch and said that that was the first time we read something that we weren't really hip on and wouldn't have continued. I will tell you right now, I like this less. I know you're about as equal. You said you're still trying
to
decide.
Is, you know, I really thought Stormwatch was going to be it for a little while. Like, we got that first trade of Stormwatch. I'm like, okay, yeah. I did not care for this, but at least it's going to be a while until I find something I don't like again. Because I read the first six issues of Green Arrow years ago.
Said
not
it
when
last
they first came out. But I read them, and I remember really enjoying them and the character Midas, even though it was getting bad reviews at the time. And people seem to, like, you know, talking about it now, hated it. So I'm like, I don't get it. I'm going to read this and try to relive some of that magic I had before where I really got into the New 52 Green Arrow, which is funny to me, too, because I remember I used to hang out at the comic book shop all the time, even though I wasn't picking up the New 52 because I thought it was bullshit that we got rid of all the continuity that I knew. So I would just hang out and I'd look at the stuff going around, you know, ask questions with my buddy Tony, who owned the shop. And I remember looking at the Green Arrow covers. And just the covers, they look cool. But I'm looking at it, and I always thought of that looking inside that, like, Ollie's hair was red on the covers. Looking at it, there was like a dark
so strawberry
blonde.
So you thought it was combining, like, a Roy
and – like, what are they doing? It's like a Roy-Oliver Queen mix, you know. And I didn't like the costume, and he was, like, clean-shaven. I'm like, it's not the Green Arrow I want. But eventually I got into it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to read this because, you know, it's Green Arrow. Whatever. I'll get into it. And, you know, even looking back at this one, the one thing I really do enjoy just thinking about it now is that you started the continuity over again when the New 52 started, and you have Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, and he does not look like the classic Green Arrow that we all know and love.
Doesn't.
The freaking, you know, the Robin Hood look with the fucking the Van Dyke and everything, all that good shit. And I like it, though, because this is the beginning of the career, and you think back at Green Arrow during the freaking Golden Age, he was a clean-shaven guy. You know, he has a little bit of stuff with this, but it went back to that classic look to start him out, and then we have the evolution of Ollie to now we got him back looking like the classic Oliver Queen we all know and love. And so I'm like, you know what? It's not what I would have done because, you know, I don't know shit about shit, but, you know, I actually look back, and I like the idea that they changed his look up, like, completely to a degree for this New 52 first six issue run, and pretty much the majority of them, actually all of the New 52 run.
Yeah. Now, the thing that I have a little bit of an issue with, and basically I think that the look – I don't mind the look at all. I don't mind the art in this at all either. It's the story is pretty much paper thin. I mean, there's nothing to it. Now, the other thing that I would have liked more of, you don't even get the concept of how long he's been Green Arrow in my mind. It's just the look. And to me, the look, that was the mandate from DC. All the heroes were supposed to look a bit younger. So to make them look younger, you get rid of the Van Dyke and all that stuff. But I like the look. Actually, I remember when the, you know, when we first jumped in was a year later. after the New 52. And so when I went back to read things, I went by the reviews. I mean, this was before our site. This was a year before our site even. And I was going, you know, I looked. And, of course, that explains why I initially jumped on Aquaman and, you know, Batman, of course, and things like that. Then I went on The Fringe, Frankenstein. But even that got good reviews. I'm telling you, I went and looked up reviews. And the things that were really rave reviews I was reading – this got ripped, and I know that there was a lot of people like, look at that, look at his look, he looks so stupid and stuff. I don't mind the look, I really don't. But like I said, I don't get a concept of when it starts, of how long. Like it seems like he's been Green Arrow for a bit. He has a team set up, they have their whole deal. It's just you have a book. A lot of times these books are going to be, you know, determine how good they are by the villain and the hero interaction. But the villain is a huge part of it. This first six issues of Green Arrow, I know you say you like Midas, but there's nothing to him. We don't really – it's interesting to think what might be part of it, but really it's nothing. And it's all a fight scene.
I don't know if I was like, you know, I was still drinking when I would have read this back in the day, like, you know, a couple of years ago.
You might have been drunk?
I might have been, because I don't know how I could have enjoyed this and thought it was good.
It's so bad. Here you go.
The guy is drunk.
That's you reading it, Eric. Because
did I used to read comic books with more optimistic eyes? Like, what's going on?
Maybe it was because, well, here's the thing. You were out of comics for a little. You stopped reading for a little bit, DC at least. You stopped. You didn't go to the New 52 right away because, like you said, it kind of upset you and things like that. And then you read it, and maybe it is one of those. This is, if you're going to say anything, it is a popcorn type-ish, you know, trade. There's not much to it, but there's a lot of action. Maybe you just like the action here. Maybe you like the rising action.
I don't know. I might have been like, you know, slightly retarded back then. Maybe. I might have gotten better. I don't know.
Well, here we go, Eric. The first issue of this came out, Green Arrow 1, number 1, for the New 52, came out on September 7th, 2011. All six issues of this trade that we're doing, the Midas Touch, were collected on May 30th, 2012. And I went to look back to see what the critics were saying at the time. Again, some people like want us to, oh, what did you guys rate it? We weren't around then.
We weren't doing
so
this.
So we didn't have that. But here are some of the reviews. Issue number 1, Eye on Comics, Eric, gave issue number 1 not a good score. I didn't even write the score, I just wrote their quotes. After reading this first issue, I have no idea what the series is about. And that's what somebody said. Then in the middle, people were really, and people bailed. I think there was like 17 reviews the first issue. By the end, at number 6 issue, 3. But in issue number 3, the middle of this, Forces of Geeks said, overall, this is the perfect example of why some people feel comic books are lame. And that was the end of that first arc that J.T. Kroll did. So that was her end of the full story. Then Keith Giffen jumped on to write and co-plot with Dan Jurgens. And by the end, issue number 6 that ends this, IGN wrote, the writers try to save this issue with a brief epilogue that implies the launch of a new storyline. But honestly, all I have really needed to know is that there's a brand new creative team coming on board for issue number 7 to hopefully pick this book up out of the mud.
And that new creative team consisted of Ann Nocenti.
It was Ann Nocenti,
writer.
So we can look back. And again, I didn't read that first part of that. I read I think I read her last mini arc or something before Jeff Lemire jumped in, like issue 16, and it was awful. But who knows? I'm saying Ann Nocenti might have done better. Now, overall, the aggregate score of this volume, volume 1, the Midas Touch, was a 5.9 out of 10. And I will tell you, that's pretty accurate. You know what I mean? They and that's also, some people were giving 9s and 10s throughout. You take those out and you're going to get down to about my score, Eric. But let's get into it. It's just not that good. And I'll even stress again, we made the thing that we're going to do everyone in order of this reading order. So this is what we're going to get. And I don't mind reading things that are shitty like this, just so I know. You know, up until now, I've been going with you had told me. You know what? I like that first six issues.
Did.
Well, here we go. It starts off, and in Seattle at Queen Industries.
I was drunk.
Yep, and you're introduced to a man named Emerson, who seems to be in control of the Q Corps.
The CEO of Q Corps.
I think he's just in Q Corps, because he does say at one point that Oliver is actually still seems to be CEO of Queen Industries, but Oliver wants to keep the Q Corps division on the side. Again, it kind of goes back and forth, but this guy is definitely involved in the Q Corps, which is the tech division.
Yeah.
And he wants this whole series, he is upset with Oliver because he wants Oliver to, you know, pay attention, to be there. He doesn't know he's Green Arrow, obviously. So
he
basically
just knows him as this goddamn playboy who just fucking doesn't show up to meetings and barely does anything
They
are doing, like, the Queen Industries is making money off the Q-pad and shit like that. Yep. That has been, like, for technology and shit like that. They are making money, but he is thinking about the future, the next quarter, the next year, and everything like that. But with Oliver Queen in control of this whole thing, and, you know, his track record of showing up to work and being a part of this company, he's thinking that this shit's all going to go down. Like, yes, things are fine right now, but what about the future, people?
Yeah, and this is his livelihood. And in the meantime, also, I'm sure that he's getting irritated every time he sees the newspapers. And there's Oliver Queen, drunk at a club. Oliver Queen pushes a paparazzi, whatever it might be. I'm sure all of this is involved. Now, you have Emerson here, and if you're reading Rebirth right now, you automatically think of Broderick.
I was really hoping it was, actually.
It would have been cool. But Cyrus Broderick is part. I would have loved it if for some crazy reason there's a guy in the meetings and it's like, listen, Broderick, get me this. And you see the, you know, the origins of
the CFO there.
Yeah, when he was saying this week, actually, when we were talking of comics.
Now, I want to ask you a question really fast because it just struck me and I didn't notice it the entire time I was reading this. But if you look at that first page and you look at Emerson there, you know, laying down the law to the rest of the people on the board, he has a robotic hand. Did you notice this?
Yeah, I didn't notice that. I do see it now. That's funny.
I've never seen this. Does it show up in a story?
They don't really do much with Emerson. Now, later, we do see him looking at a picture of what you would think is his dead son. Maybe he got in an accident with them, and the Q Corps is the tech division, and that's the side deal where you have to realize that there's Oliver's Green Arrow. He has this Q Corps division where this guy is all about Q Corps and doing this. It's really only for Oliver to develop shit for Green Arrow. It really does come down to it. A lot of the things that Oliver is doing in Queen Industries, it's to do stuff for Green Arrow, but yet it's popular. And the Q-pad's huge in the New 52. We had this all over the place, so it's pretty funny. But yeah, you're wading through this whole thing for Emerson, for it to be revealed, especially now that I see his robotic hand, Eric. You're waiting for him to turn bad.
Yeah.
Basically, as far as we know through this volume, he actually just sees Oliver as wasted potential. This is all it is. He is the boss of a major company, a major division of a huge company, and sees its, you know, owner, basically, and the face of the whole thing being a smacked ass, and wants him to become an adult. Through the most part, even the big thing where you even get he's going to try to force Oliver out of the company, but for the good of the company, because Oliver does seem to be, like I said, a smacked ass. And basically the most evil thing that Emerson says is he tells Oliver to grow up at one point.
I'm telling you, and it's so funny to me because it is so set up throughout this first six issues for you to hate Emerson because he is the foil of Oliver Queen. Not Green Arrow, but because he wants him to, be more attentive at work. So if that's the case, he can't be Green Arrow as much. So you can go either way with the whole thing, but you were set up to hate this guy. And in the end, I'm like, you know what? He's in control of one of the biggest corporations in America.
He's a businessman.
He's just a good boss.
Yeah, and he doesn't – it even comes to a point – telling you, you get to that point where I think that he looks at Oliver as a wayward son. Yeah. It gets to that. Like, he looks at, like, I'm telling you, again, they insinuate that his son died, Emerson's son died.
Yeah.
And I think that he looks at Oliver as a, you know, I want you to have the potential my son never got. You have all these things thrown at you that you can use and do, and you're not doing it. And legitimately, from his point of view, he's right. He really is. In the meantime, they're talking with this. Oliver missed another meeting, but Oliver's whole thing, listen, this is Kilcor. We don't need to be face-to-face. I mean, he's doing FaceTime, and, you know, he's talking to him on the intercom. He's in Paris as Green Arrow, staking out shit and looking and sees, you know, the great villain's Dynamix, Supercharge, and Doppelganger. And, yeah, and again, the problem – and here's the thing is, the issue that I have with this isn't a bad opening scene. Right? You're like, okay, there's these three Z-list villains. Oliver's there. He's trying to see. We don't have any idea how he, you know, why or what or how, really. It's just that these guys are pieces of crap that are celebrities for being pieces of shit on YouTube. The problem that I have, though, is it's not just a scene. This is the start of a three-issue arc with all these guys and then more combined.
It's the worst because when I was reading this before, like in my mind, it was all Midas. You know, that's what I remember reading when I friggin' did this. So when I got into this, and it's the first three, where's Midas?
Yeah, you're getting people? The idea that these three, you know, like I said, piece of shit YouTube freaking, you know, superstars here
and they
are just going to be five issues
of this.
Yeah, it's just – it's so weird because he's there. You don't know – you really are dropped in on this, and it's not a great cold open, but you're introduced to Naomi, who's this tech girl. I like her. They don't have a lot for her to do. She basically just does sit at that computer screen.
Well,
she's his cyborg.
You have Naomi and Jax, who are pretty much Team Arrow for this book.
Yep.
And you find out later on that Jax is developing the different kind of arrows that Ali uses. Yep. And he has a problem with developing weapons because he just wants to do good work for Q-Corp.
Yes.
And he doesn't like, you know, Oliver's side hobby that he kind of got dragged into.
Yeah.
Naomi, she's just a snarky girl on a computer who's the eyes and ears of Oliver Queen.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's all you get of Naomi.
That's
I'm like,
all
okay,
she
you
is.
Set up Jax a little bit, but Naomi doesn't get
and,
shit.
And Jax is set up very little. When we get to that, I'll mention it again because I laugh because, like you said, they say he came from MIT. He got a job at Q-Corp at Queen Industries, thought that he was going to do something in the world, and instead he's developing arrows for Oliver. And he said, I don't like making weapons. And then Jax told him, listen, that's why I have you. It's a very good thing. Where he's like, that's why I have you do it. I don't want somebody who's a stone cold killer making these arrows. I want somebody who has in the back of their mind, I'm not a killer. The problem is, Jax kind of hints that he wants out. There's no way Oliver's letting you out. The minute that you know that he's Green Arrow, you're fucked. You can't leave. I'm telling you, at that point, I'm like, Oliver's like getting one of his fucking Sharpie arrows out, ready to say, yeah, Jack, you quitting here? Because I don't know what they'd do if he did. But in the meantime, you have this whole first scene. Our first issue is basically now a fight between these three villains and Oliver on a boat. Now that he bust in, and it's kind of like he even says, this ain't no disco. He thinks he's quoting the fucking Talking Heads here.
Yeah.
But he's going with this. That's where you see Pandora, like we always point out. She's one of the partiers.
I see it now. I'm like, how did I not see that?
It's framed by his arm and his body. But yeah, she's there just hanging on the boat, Eric, where all these people are. They're
Paris
all
chilling.
They're just dancing in Paris and whatever. And basically, Supercharged Dynamix and Doppelganger, they're just kind of – they just go onto the boat and they want to rob people and steal the boat, basically. And Oliver, out of all the bad things going on in the world, he's there to stop this. And he's going to fight them. He ends up shooting an arrow into the controls of the boat so Naomi can remotely control it. And then you just continue to have just a fight. And it's just that's the whole issue. They fight. It's okay. It's good action.
I really
I like
don't
the
know
art.
What Doppelganger's power is because
no.
It seems like the worst possible thing. Where she's a hot chick who then starts splitting off into another version of herself.
And then looks like the bride with two heads.
Bit. She's got four arms and like a fucking Siamese twin head. I'm like, you just look terrible. I don't know what you are to this.
How does this – and she seems to be – possibly like a thief. She even says when they're on the boat, hey, we're going to have fun. Yeah, and steal some jewels. And I'm like, how does the doppelganger thing, make you be able to do that better? I don't know. Dynamix is this fucking big-ass brute.
He's a brute.
You don't really get much of him. Supercharged, they do more of. He has electrical powers. And as this goes, Oliver uses a lot of trick arrows. So obviously when this started, that was J.T. Kroll. But I will say, I don't know about you, not really that fun, though. No. You know what I mean? It's not a lot of fun. It's a lot of shock arrows. You have one where he actually slugs fucking Dynamix off the boat and then shoots an arrow into the water
that gives him an ice steel arrow.
And freezes him and things like that. But they end up, the police are on their way. He has to get out. But the dialogue in this is not the greatest. There's a lot of Oliver like, "You guys are just attention whores. Now you're punks. You know what? You're not punks. You're losers."
You're losers.
And
oh
it just
God,
goes
damn.
On. Yeah. And then at the end, he just, you know, punches people out. And then you go back afterwards. Oliver heads back to Seattle. He has this Adrian, his assistant, who ends up going to be – it's basically his back and forth with Emerson, hot chick. She's very nice. I actually think that they develop her well enough.
Yeah,
I
mean, they give her a bit of an attitude as the story progresses for all the shit that Oliver puts her through.
Yeah, yeah. And basically Oliver uses her to get all of his shit. Like if there's so many men – now by the end of this, it seems like Emerson's sick and tired of it. And even there, they end up going and passing a bylaw in the company that Adrian can she can veto anything Oliver says or whatever. Basically, to me, it's because he never shows up. He's sick. Emerson is sick of going back and forth between them. But yeah, that's basically what they have going on. But then that's where you have that scene, like we said, about Jack saying he didn't sign up to create weapons. That's why Oliver has him. But then you go off to Paris again in the penitentiary. They have the guys.
You see the Supercharge and Dynamix. They have themselves a crew. But yeah, Doppelganger, she was taken to a lab, so nobody gives a fuck about Doppelganger. They don't go to break her out, so she is out of the story.
And basically they take her out because she has no powers. And in the meantime, they're trying to work on Doppelganger to try to figure out a serum to get rid of these superpowers, which is odd that I don't know if that's what comes into play later. They never go back to that. Nope. But yeah, they're in the cell. They're together, which is right there as a mistake. But yeah, they get broken out by Rush and his gang, Eric. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, these guys, there's Lyman Light.
Yep.
You have almost what, Stunner. You have Rush in the middle, who reminds me a lot of it. If he had a British flag there, the Union Jack.
Manchester
Black.
Yeah,
I would think it's like Manchester Black. It's a guy who likes to walk around with a fucking jacket open and
well,
no shirt.
He's got a six-pack. Why wouldn't
he? Yeah, he does. He looks good. But you also have a ninja guy who even looks at first, I thought he was elongated man because he looked like he was a little stretchy. You have a freaking werewolf. And also, what's his name that I said?
And a chick who wants to think she's Wonder Woman, who I have no idea who she is.
I actually think that's Stunner. I can't tell. I'm telling you.
I don't know. They don't lay these out for the most part. Like, you get to know Lyman Light for the next issue.
Yes.
But the rest.
Stunner is mentioned once. Stunner's mentioned because Alpha talks, but the problem is he's talking towards the two ladies. I'm guessing that, I don't know. You never learn anything. Now you have Juggernaut, it's basically, I'm telling you, if you can tell me that is not Wolverine dressed as Juggernaut, I'll bet you on it because it looks like Wolverine with Juggernaut's fucking body and has huge hands. We never see anything of these guys.
Beast. I think it's Beast without hair dressed as Juggernaut.
Maybe. I still say it's like the early Wolverine when he was really small and squat. Hoo-wee! And that was the end of the first issue. It's rough. It really is.
God.
And it really does get better because then we go and we're going to learn more about Lyman Light.
Now when we move on, you see the individual, you know, the covers for the trade and shit like that. If you move on and look at that next cover, do you see what I'm talking about with his hair looking red?
Yeah. Yeah, it does look red. It's just very odd.
I never paged through it, but I just look at the cover.
It must just be the lighting they were going. I don't know. It's an okay cover, but yeah, it does look red. But yeah, you go on and Lyman Light, they have hit Seattle. They've hit the West Coast, Eric. And they are, again, this is going to be pushed that all these bad guys are basically just people who are on YouTube doing stuff. Yeah, and it's even worse because it seems like they're on YouTube. They're somewhat popular, but they're upping the ante. Like, as this is going on, they're doing more. more and more, I can't even call them pranks. They're just out and about, but they are also looked at as celebrities. So people are like, Lime and Light have hit Seattle, and boy, look at what they've got. They got a few days to kill, and look at these spectacular looking girls.
Penthouse suite. Yeah, and they're pretty. And they did all this other stuff. The injury damage and all this stuff. It could be up to $1 million.
Yeah, yeah. It's all this stuff, and that's when Oliver shows up, calls him drunk attention horse. You have no idea who Lime and Light are at this point. They're flying around, you know, and they're twins. They have these powers.
I immediately felt bad, though, because where Oliver's fighting them is at the Space Needle in Seattle. I'm like, ooh, yeah, don't get used to that Space Needle.
Don't get used to it. But yeah, you know, they're in Seattle doing this. So you don't really know the concept. And this continues throughout here where you have a villain where Oliver will shoot them with an arrow, a trick arrow possibly, but without knowing what the power set of the villain is, you can't even figure out what the goddamn arrow was either. No. And at points that's just like things yelled out. He shoots her with an arrow and just yells, you're stupid. Every hair of sunglasses. And then obviously has a glowing, almost a Kirby dot arrow there that shoots her in the leg. And I don't know what's going on. She's falling. No, she looks knocked down.
I don't know Lime and Light off the top of my head, but I imagine they could fly around and they guess they have light powers, like the ray or some shit like that.
So does this but you would think then this arrow puts out the light? But when either Lime or Light, who this is, I don't even realize. I guess it was Light who gets hit. Lime is still, because then she gets mad later. Light gets hit. And,
I'm just guessing it was a taser arrow that knocks her out.
Yeah, she's still glowing. And then he's like, oh, no, I can't let her die. Because she was flying. He hits her. She's going to fall down into the Seattle crowds in the street. And even as the snarky, she might land on somebody. And then, you know, Lime there, or Light. I guess that was Lime who got power, Lime got hurt. I'm so confused. It was Lime, because then Light says, me and Lime were just trying to have a little fun, and you got to get all nasty on us. But yeah, Avon says, you can go suck it, Green Arrow. But all they are these, you know, hot chicks. They're going, and he just fights them, ends up fucking kicking her in the face almost. And then they're done. He has defeated Lime and Light. And we go off to a very odd scene where Oliver is playing basketball with a guy who looks like he's from the University of Washington. He says, you know, for the Huskies, whatever it might be. But this is part of the Emerson showing up, because Oliver loses this game. It's obviously a charge, Eric. Oliver should have called a foul. But yes, they go. And Emerson just shows up again. It's like, oh, you know, that's like Oliver Queen. He likes losing the hard way almost as much as he does winning the hard way. And then Oliver's like, those are the victories that count, Emerson. And Emerson's just like, come on, you got to get to work. Seriously? I'm here. I can't get a hold of you ever. I need you to get to these meetings. We need to do this. We need your signature on the emails. We need you to sign the contracts. Basically, Oliver's like, I don't need you hovering over me every second of the day. If I was Emerson, I'm like, fuck you. Well, sign these papers. Just leave. Just be the head. We will give you this. Here's the thing, and I think this might even happen eventually. Here it is. Here's the contract. We're going to pay you this much. It's not going to be public that you have been fired of any sort of way. You are just the head, the face of the company, but you have nothing to do with day-to-day affairs, because you obviously don't want to be involved in day-to-day affairs. And Oliver just – He's kind of a dick.
Yeah, he's like, look, hire a spokesperson. I got no interest in being some kind of poster boy. And Emerson's like, look, well, if you'd better, or the board will remove you altogether.
Yeah, we'll remove
you. And, you know, he's threatening him right now, but he needs to get Oliver on board. And as we progress, it is kicking Oliver off the board entirely is what he wants to do. Because
that's what he wants to do, because he's sick of going back and forth. You have a guy who's sitting there, and they have this kid. And also, just getting into the back, deals of this, they are a tech company. It's very based. That sort of thing is based on being, you know, current. And doing things. I could just imagine that they want to go forward with some sort of R&D that Oliver has to sign off on, and they have to wait 3 weeks because the guy's in fucking Malaysia, you know, being Green Arrow. It has to be frustrating. That's all he wants, it seems. Then you go and you see this young guy, Alpha. He has an Alpha symbol. He is a new recruit of Rush and his gang, Eric. What is Rush's gang called?
I'm sitting here thinking, like, you know what? Why were we never given a real name for all of them?
That's what I mean.
Together.
Yes.
The Q-tubers?
Well, yeah, I'm telling you, because they are on YouTube and all these famous, and you don't get
YouTube.
The Rush team. Rush Squad. Yeah, you never really get that. It's really weird that you don't, like, it's such a, a big part of these issues, and you don't get it, but he shows up, and he's a fan. He shows up, and this is when he's there, and I see that Stunner, that he's like, oh, my God, Stunner.
Ethan loves YouTube and shit like that, and I'm like, yeah, he might as well just show up here in an Alpha costume.
Yeah, and he wants to have these, you know, you don't really learn much of him. Unfortunately, he's pretty much a sacrificial lamb here because the Rush Squad, they want to up the ante of things. And, you know, they're trying to get those clicks, Eric, so they have to up the ante. So basically, they have him there basically to kill him. That's all they're going to do. They're going to kill him live on YouTube and film it.
And I do like to throw out because the one guy who looks like a goddamn ninja warrior or whatever, he does have psychic powers or telekinetic powers. And he has a bunch of what they call the Holt Pro cameras, which are initially little key spheres that are freaking cameras that he just has them hovering around filming everything for YouTube.
Brother Iron. So they're going with the things and, they're just filming it. And they film him dying. Now, this is a big thing, but it's such a background thing because you go and you see Oliver and Naomi are watching things on their big screens in the their headquarters, Dale, the Green Arrow Lair or whatever you would call it at Q-Corp. And you see behind that Alpha's dead. He's dead, and they're not reacting really. You hear some people talking. They're watching other news, but it's mainly that. You see him getting shocked, getting clawed by Wolfman, laying in a pool of blood. You have all these things. You see him being hit by Dynamix, and they're just talking.
Well, I guess they're calling me out.
Yeah, and then all it says is that Naomi says, while they're watching it, Limelight were part of the crew that busted them out of the French prison. Okay, Limelight. Limelight. And they even say Limelight, which is weird. But then he's like, looks like I'm watching a pack of superpowered sociopaths. You're watching murderers. You see a murderer over
faces of
react
death is what you're
to
watching.
It. And it's like, they killed him and posted it online? He doesn't even seem concerned. He seems more concerned that they did it online. But this is the part there where Rush, because like we said, he was the one who broke out Dynamix and Supercharge. So they even threw shade at them earlier, like, oh, yeah, Oliver Queen kicked your – or not Oliver, Green Arrow kicked your ass. So at the end of this, he pretty much – Rush calls them out online or calls Green Arrow and says, yeah, maybe if he had a bow and arrow, he would have put up a better fight. Then again, probably not. And then that's when Naomi's like, hey, by the way, they're in Seattle. So here we go. Oliver's going to go off. He gets a new gadget.
This whole thing, though, the whole thing we have going on here with setting up the fucking Rush Squad or whatever we're going to call them – is, you know, Naomi even says, and you're so shocked. People spend hours killing and maiming people in video games every single day. I'm like, all right, so this is the special, like, you know, this PSA that we have is like, you know,
don't
violence begins
this is
violence from
kid.
Video games. I'm like, God damn it. Why do we have to have this moral goddamn, like, story in there about people, you know, spending all the time playing video games and how it might affect them in the future becoming ultra violent? Like, like all of a sudden you play in video games, you're going to grow up and it's going to become a Quentin Tarantino world.
Yeah. I mean, I get the idea. Concentrate more on these people on these QTube. They don't stop. Everybody wants an extra click, and they'll go to any means to do it. Like, that's the whole you know, that's the thought of it, but they don't – they go with these video games. That then we have an odd scene because Oliver's dressing up, and Jax is like, hey, do you see that package on the counter? I thought there was a bomb. I thought somebody sent him a bomb.
It's pinging.
It's pinging. And he's there with a Q-pad, and Oliver's like, I'll get to it later. You know, the newest toy. I'm like, I think it's a bomb. And then it looks like he's like, oh, yeah, you brought me on to keep you safe, right? And I'm like, what does this have to do with this package? And then he's putting on his Domino mask, and I thought maybe he gave him a new Domino mask.
That's
I had no
what
idea.
I thought at first because I didn't notice the first pinging on the counter. He put on the mask, I'm like, all right, what's this new mask doing?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like some new tech in the mask, but it ends up that it was a thing that is an expandable, almost like an airbag that you'd have in a car, but in a bigger thing that it can take care of multiple opponents. And I was just like, can you get that in an arrow? Yeah, I think I can. And then he goes off as if he doesn't have it, but yet he kind of does leave.
Yeah,
because then he goes out, he's running. And before he can get go, he gets attacked by the Rush Squad. And you see you have the werewolf that we know nothing about, possibly Stunner. And
possibly
they're just,
somebody else.
Yeah, and then it's the worst, too, because you have – I know that this is the darker universe, the New 52. Oliver goes, I didn't come here to tangle with a couple more skanks. And then he's, where's the pink dog? I'm like, God damn it, Skanks. She's pretty hot. She looks like Wonder Woman. Jesus Christ. But then Rush comes in and he's like, I'm right here. My name's Rush. But I bet you already knew that. He's big on whole thing. He's big on being filmed and being famous and all of this, but basically this is just going to continue a fight. You have Rush and Oliver just fighting it out. And
because, you know, Rush's new thing is to get those views and those clicks is, we're going to kill Green Arrow online for everyone to see. And I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, you know what? I saw this in Red Hood and Arsenal, I think it was, or maybe it was Red Hood and the Outlaws.
And the Outlaws, I thought it was Red Hood and Arsenal near the end.
I think
it was
Red Hood and Arsenal because it was all about, you know, Roy being, you know, people are going to vote whether Roy lives or dies online and shit like that. And it was all about how terrible people are for wanting to watch it and voting against them. Like, I watched that, and while it wasn't a perfect story,
it was
way
better
than this one.
It was better, and even at the end, they have a very similar ending when we get to it of the, aren't you ashamed, yelling at the people. But yeah, you see this as Rush is going, and he's going to televise. The murder will be televised there, and everybody's on their cue pads and their computers watching, and you get them. They're all a bunch of scumbags, and they all seem, there's not one person who seems to be down with Green Arrow. They just want a death, and they're going to see it, but it just continues. It just is him, Oliver, fighting these villains that we barely know anything about. And because we don't know much about them, like I said, you have arrows that are being shot that you don't really know why he's picked this. At one point, you have Shock. What's his name?
Supercharge.
Shock, Oliver, and the arrows are all catching on fire and having problems. But yeah, all of this is going on, and then it leads him into the idea of he's being attacked by this group, shoot a hole, so they fall into the basement and then shoot in that big airbag thing to detain them. But then you go back to Queen Industries. I would have liked it if you would have had Emerson watching it as well, and you could get an idea if he liked or didn't like Green Arrow at this point, but he's just there.
But he's
in
too
his...
busy working because he's actually a goddamn boss. He's not that concerned
there,
with any of this nonsense.
And he's there, and it's obviously, you know, I'm guessing 11, 12 at night, and he's still working, and he's there, and he looks at a picture of him and his son. You know, they have the Mariners hats on, looks like they're off to a ball game or whatever, and you get the idea his son died. And then he says, when all I can think about are the lost possibilities, because he says it's hard to watch this, Kyle, because it's a total waste. Oliver is a waste. He's been giving everything in the world, and he's wasting it. I wish that you could have gotten everything. And then, yeah, I see now, I'm looking now too, and I see that crazy robotic hand now.
I never noticed it before.
Yeah, it's really weird. But yeah, maybe later we find out that that was kind of how, you know, he was already involved with tech and things. Who knows? I wouldn't even be surprised.
Maybe that's why he's so concerned with Q-Corp, because it's the thing that gave him back his life once
he
lost his hand.
That's what I think. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Kyle makes an appearance. Who knows, Eric? Maybe he's an experiment going wrong.
I'm telling you, the thing is, I read this first six issues. I ditched the rest until Jeff Lemire came on in that issue 17, I think it was. And then I read that first issue, realized, you know what? I don't really like this. So I stayed off of that. You reviewed that for the website. And I came back on after Lemire left. And it was never good after that. So I missed a lot of what was going on.
Yeah, we missed a lot.
I think even at the one point, you know, Jax and Naomi left. And they say how they're, like, you know, in hiding now. We got Henry Fife showing up. But, like, all this initial stuff with, like, you know, these original characters. Like, I don't know anything about that. And I'm not getting anything from this first six issues.
No, nothing. Because, as this is going on, Oliver just keeps fighting, and it's, you know, the whole thing is being on, it's on YouTube or Q-Tube, whatever you want to call it. He's just going, and you have that ninja psychic where Oliver then shoots an arrow to try to get rid. He wants to shut down the feed at that point. But the guy's a psychic, so he's like, you think that I'm not going to divert this
and
arrow? Are you
idiot.
Fooling? He diverts it right into a freaking fuel
tank.
Into a
propane tank.
Yeah,
a
propane tank. It just blows up. And then they're there. And that's where Naomi at this point, I believe, is trying to, like, shut down the stuff. But she says, don't. You know, don't. I want people to see this crazy stuff. But then Oliver shoots these two arrows at Rush, who then we don't even know what it is. One's like a tranquilizer, possibly.
Exactly.
The other one looks like a rocket.
The whole point is, at this one point, his quiver caught on fire, so he had to grab a handful of arrows while they, like, you know, before they blew up and shit like that, and just whatever he could carry. So we have, you know, he's running out of arrows at this point, but he has this freaking, you know, this little hypodermic needle he puts on the end of an arrow.
Yeah. And the other one has a rocket. Do you see this, like, rocket-looking
I don't know what
thing.
That is, but he shoots two of these, and they go into Rush's neck, and I'm like, Okay, I can kind of go with the hypodermic or whatever you want to call it. And like the whole, like, you know, tranquilizer
this
bit.
This is where I
Why
thought
does
maybe.
Need to be two?
Yeah, this is what I thought maybe when they mentioned doppelganger being looked at to try to figure out a way to get rid of these powers for some reason. The problem is, what is Russia's power? What is his power?
He seems to be very strong and freaking resilient.
Because if he was a guy who – why isn't he somebody – script, Dr. Time, Eric. Why isn't he somebody that is somehow powered by
–
why is he not a guy who's – I don't know how you explain it, but is powered by the YouTube clicks. You know what I'm saying? Somehow the more popular
I don't like
gets,
script, Doc.
I'm telling you, though, because that's what it makes it seem, though. He is so – like then you get the urge that he wants to be. It's more than just being popular because somehow he's powered by fame. So you, I don't know how you do it because even then when Oliver takes it down, he has told Naomi, don't cut the feed, and then starts saying to people, hey, listen, you know what? You're the ones who made these sick, demented celebrities. Without an audience, he's nothing. I'm telling you push in there that the fame is what fuels him in an actual meta-human way. I think it's better. Yeah. And then
it's almost like American Gods, where you, if you believe in a god,
they're
actually
thinking
there.
Of.
Yeah.
I actually was thinking of it. So make him some, like, he's one of these new gods of the internet. So, and it doesn't take much just to click a mouse, push a button, swipe a finger, log out, sign off, do it now and never come back. So he's telling the people, the piece of shits that we're watching. The funniest is, it goes from that, you see that the Rush gang are all in jail, but you still see these people online who hate Green Arrow.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
You ask me, Rush got screwed like a big setup.
Yeah, yeah, and like, Green Arrow can suck it, said Zordarks. So yeah, they're doing this and it goes off, and this is where it seems that this whole thing gave Oliver a change in philosophy for life, because he goes and he has a press conference for Q-Corp and says to everybody, listen, almost like it's basically like, listen, put the shit down once in a while. Go out and have a life. Don't just sit there online.
Don't tell you me can how to be, live my life.
Yeah, you
could
be something more than this. Your life isn't now.
Where
Emerson,
do you get off?
Emerson's just like, yeah, thanks a lot. You just told him that our shit was useless. He's like, no, that wasn't the idea. I just want people to have a full life, whatever. But this is when Emerson's just like, you know what? Stop pretending to be a man and actually become one. And it really does seem to affect Oliver. He just walks down all dejected. And then Adrian's like, hey, don't you think that was a bit harsh? And it's funny because that Adrian, then he's like, hey, you can't speak freely to me. And you're starting to get this idea they want to push him as an evil person, but I still don't get it. I still don't get him.
He just wants the best for Oliver Queen and for Queen Industries.
Yeah. And then the issue ends where you see people are watching this press conference, and you see it looks like a ninja and a guy who looks like he's the fucking Toxic Avenger, at least from the hand and what he's done to these people at this bar. He's made them into fucking, you know, waste products, and they walk away. You don't know who it is yet. It's Red Death.
Why they
and
even
mine.
Killed everyone in this bar.
You have no idea. And it's Red Death. Is it Red Death? What is her name? We go on
it's,
with it.
It's Blood Rose.
Blood Rose. Red Death. Blood Rose and Midas. So we're now just being introduced to Midas, who the trade is named after. And I still – you like Midas.
At the end of issue 3.
I think it's goofy, Midas. But yeah, this is where our man Keith Giffen jumps on to the book, Eric. And as you go through this, it is so obvious. Because if people listen to our regular podcast –
he's co-plotting with Dan Juergens.
Yeah, he's the writer co-plotter. Dan Juergens is layouts and co-plotter. So the script is being written by Keith Giffen, and it's
tough.
And
you can tell right away.
You go from what is not a great first three issues to a next three issues that is so wordy out of nowhere, to the point where I said this is my thing with Keith Giffen. He always – if you can think of a dialogue of three – you know, three people talking, extend that, you know, to three pages, because they are going to have nobody. Keith Giffen makes it so that everybody in his book has to have the last word. Like, you'll say, Green Arrow will be like, hey, I'm heading to Paris. I hope that I get there on time, and then somebody will have to have some comment, like, that wouldn't happen, and then he'll go, I heard that, you were supposed to.
Oh, like, God.
Really? Please, stop, because it starts right away. Yeah, and he loves to have people talking on telephones as well, but it starts off where Oliver's just, he's fighting another group of villains that I get no idea of who they are. He's just fighting these people. I actually thought, because there's this one lady in a fancy, you know, dress pants and stuff and a smart little outfit. I thought she was a like interviewing somebody. I thought she was somebody who was like a newscaster. Nope, she's just fighting. He's shooting arrows, and it's just they find that there's this tech that's kind of like an imprinted circuit board on their face. And that's where it's
that
like
– sets them on fire when they fail.
Yeah, it sets them on fire when they get defeated and they're all on fire. And it's like, what's on their faces? Some kind of embedded circuitry, acid etched by the look of it. Had to hurt. Okay, here we
go. And I'm sitting here. I actually forgot all about this part because I got so, like, lost in Keith Giffen's dialogue as the story progressed. But
it just overwhelms
this never
the
comes
book.
Back, does it?
No. No, and this is supposed to be something that you're guessing that Midas is involved with because he's kind of a tech guy, even though I don't know how from where he would get his backstory that he became that tech a guy. But even that, he's like, you have Oliver fighting, and he's fighting this group. They're going, you know, and Oliver says – or no, somebody says Naomi, I guess, or Jax. I told you it looks suspicious. And then Oliver goes, tell me something I don't know. And then you get a weird panel progression because you go, and then all of a sudden there's a panel. Ted Williams was named after Teddy Roosevelt. And then Jack says, that's Naomi. And then Jack says, I think it was a rhetorical question. Then Oliver goes, you think? I'm like, why? Why do you have to do this? This is not – it's this – I hate to say it because it is Gilmore Girls dialogue, I call it. And that's an insult to the Gilmore Girls.
Later on we have it too. I forget the situation, but at one point I'm like, can we change the subject? And Naomi's like, do you think Wonder Woman's boobs are real?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
And everything, it's like – it's always that extra thing. And then you have Oliver. He gives a fucking elbow to the one lady's head and the, you're such a people person. Why?
God damn.
And basically, like you said, their heads
catch on
fire. This
is supposed to be the start of the beginning of the story that I liked.
Yeah, this is supposed to be. This is where I thought, like, this is what you remember, these three. But yeah, they're trying to figure out what's going on. And then, then it's like, here's the other thing. Just this first page of Keith Giffen. He's like, hey, while you're at it, see if you can dig up any incidents similar to this. Cast a wide net, he says to Naomi and Jax. Basically, Naomi, she's going to look in and maybe there's a connection somewhere. And then that's where Naomi goes, go ahead, I know you're dying to say it. Then Oliver goes, say what? And then I've got a bad feeling about this. But yeah, you go back to Adrian and Oliver, and it just continues. Emerson's mad. Emerson wants, you know, things, and basically Oliver is a dick. Oliver himself, like Green
he's
Arrow, whatever.
Off all his Oliver
but Oliver's a dick, and he's treating Adrian like a bitch. You know, he could care less. Then you have the whole thing with Jax, and they're going with it, but it's just dialogue after dialogue. I'm telling you, it keeps going.
All this part, too, when Jack shows up, it's all about starting a gaming division.
Yeah, they want to close a game. Yep.
And, you know, Jack seems all about it. You know what? This is something I could actually get behind. But Tilly finds out this is almost like a virtual reality simulation of stuff that Green Arrow will be going up against.
Yep, because he's like, hey, man, all right, games, what are we going to do? Are we going to do an RPG? Are we going to do an action deal or whatever? And he's like, well, we'll do this. And basically, like you said, it's a virtual way of testing out things. I don't know how that is any sort of way
either.
That's in reality even worthwhile or whatever.
And we never get anything more with it in this story arc.
Nope, we don't. And then we go back. We go to the Seattle waterfront where you do see the big bads. And they're really coy with showing you Midas at the beginning. Then he has this stuttering dialogue that drives
me
fucking
insane.
Very
annoying. Oh,
it's
my God.
So
I'm trying
bad.
To read this. And then I find myself reading it as if I am Midas. And I'm like, this isn't helping. Like,
because,
I thought it would help if I started like getting me come the character as I read it. But no. I had to stop because it was just so annoying, and it was taking me forever to read these last three issues.
It's more of a pause. Like, if he's I do not understand
your
fixation on this archer. That's how you'd have to read it, and I was like, God damn you. You're killing me. But yeah, you have what's her name again? Red Rose.
It's fucking Blood Rose.
Blood Rose. I'm telling you, that's the point. I barely know these people. But yeah, they're real concerned with Oliver and Green Arrow.
You don't either, because I'm going to let some shit out here early because I don't care about this. But
she's a robot.
She's a goddamn robot.
She's a robot.
Why or how?
No, she's a robot. You have. And actually, Midas, he is a what they call just waste. He's toxic waste.
Toxic waste dump.
And you even see they're in like a shipping container where they've set up the things.
They're a hideout.
I wish that part of him just didn't come off. I mean, there are so much of him falling off and dripping around that he actually has shit that looks like he put in drawers. You look at that desk. Drawers have shit coming out of him. It's disgusting. But
in my mind, that's just him grabbing the drawers, put stuff away, and because of his toxic waste,
it's just
he's burning
disgusting.
The fucking drawers up.
But yeah, and there's this woman, you know, this hot ninja woman who seems to like shooting guns, which threw me off a little for some reason. And also, you have Midas through all this time. There's a couple times where you see him with this blowtorch. And you'd have no idea what's going on with him. You have no idea what he is. And he's just talking, and you do get the idea that this hot ninja girl, what's her name again? Red Death.
Blood Rose.
I knew Blood Rose. She's in love with him. She's kissing his awful toxic waste head. And you don't know what's going on because she seems to have something against Green Arrow of what he did to her. But also they're going after Oliver for some reason as well.
I don't know either. They've been amassing data on Oliver Queen for years, and he's not worth killing it because he hasn't suffered enough.
Yeah, he hasn't suffered enough for what he did. And then in the meantime, she also has it against Green Arrow that they want to kill, but her and Midas realize if they do, the Justice League, all the other heroes will come to do something about it.
Even though there is no connection to Green Arrow or any other heroes at this point, even when we get the Justice League at number 7, I think, they don't want him on the team.
It says actually 8. They have a call out in here.
Is it 8?
Justice League number 8, which I think that is the call out where they don't want him on the team. But I guess even if Green Arrow did die, that would be news. Oh, Green Arrow, the deal, they may look into it, but still. It's but the problem is, I don't know what they're up to. I don't know why or what they're doing.
Fucking Blood Rose has a vendetta, and she goes against the goddamn plan, whatever it may be, and goes after Oliver Queen.
And then Midas is in love with freaking Blood Rose. Red Rose? Blood Rose?
Blood Rose.
Blood Rose. And ends up getting upset because of what he has to say. It's nonsense.
Well, it's because Green Arrow went out and then kicked her ass, and she failed at her mission, whatever it may be.
And that's
so he has to go out because he acts on emotion because she might get hurt, and he can't stand the thought of her losing her.
Yeah.
So he has to go out and take out Green Arrow on his own.
And his emotions take over. But in the meantime, she goes to Queen Industries, and it seems like she's just there to get more intel because she even says when she sees Oliver. Unfortunately for Oliver, it's the one night he decided to work late. He actually says, I want to get fucking Emerson off my fucking back. I'm going to do this. I need a good night's rest. And it's funny too, he did one day's work and he's like, yeah, that'll last me a month. Like, you're a piece of shit. But when he comes out, she's surprised that he's there, and she's like, oh, it's unfortunate, but it's not time for you to die. But then he ends up talking to Naomi. He seems to always be connected with Naomi, has her trigger the fire, the sprinklers, and somehow the water allows Oliver to get away. I don't know why he really thought that was going to be something that would stop a ninja with guns, but it does, and she's mad then, and like, oh, you know what? He's getting help from, a remote source. I'm going to find out what it is. Now, that does not really come into play.
No.
But that's the first hint that she's a robot. Because Oliver says, shut down the computer she's on. And then Naomi goes, she's not on a computer. This is weird. You know, she actually is accessing it somehow without a computer. So that is the first little hint
that she is a robot. We've already been dealing with all these metahumans with all these different powers.
I
just figure she has some fucking techno friggin'.
Well, that's like when you come back to it, though. When you come back to it, that's like one of the first hints. The second hint is that Green Arrow and her are fighting. She rips off part of the wall and throws it at him, and then does a super leap off off the building up to the top.
Mind.
Yes, and then you're like, oh, you know what? What's going on here? But Oliver even says, you know what's odd? Because this is him as Green Arrow at this point fighting her, and he says, like, you know what? Why was she taking it easy? Like, she just did some crazy shit. If she is a metahuman, if she has superpowers, why did she take it easy on me? And you basically, I could only tell you that she does because she does. And that's not part of the plan yet. And because, you know, it's not something that ends up, when you usually have that, it would be something that would end up like, oh, she's not really that bad. Really, they explain it as, we don't want Superman and Batman coming to fight us. That is all the explanation is. But because of that, it's nothing Oliver ever figures out later, really. It's nothing to do with anything. It's just a cliffhanger thing where he's like, I wonder why she didn't kill me. It's just really odd. But he goes back to Q-Corps as Green Arrow. He has to change. Adrian walks in as he's changing. He's half naked. And, you know, you have this weird thing where he's like, hey, it's not like you haven't seen this.
At this point, we got Ray McCarthy on art for this.
Yeah. And she's like, sorry. He's like, oh, it's not like you haven't seen it. Well, not alone. I'm like, where has he been? Is he just fucking his office? Because I don't get the idea that she like visits him at a hotel in Paris or something. And it's weird too, because I keep waiting for them to start a romantic relationship as well. You keep waiting for her to say something and Oliver seem like he's interested, but we're not going to get that. And just in the meantime, they're trying to figure out who these bad guys are. And we go, and now we're going to get a Midas backstory that is thrown in so willy-nilly and so odd that I had no idea what was going on.
I have no idea. It's just this weird over the, like, you know, we're seeing scenes with this caption that doesn't lead to anybody's, like, you know, it's just us being told what went down, but it is so disjointed. And at the end, I had no idea what, like, you know, this fucking guy was a scientist. And then he, you know, I guess he went out on a date and brought her back to show, you know, what he was working on.
She was an eco-terrorist. She was trying to get his, you know, trying to get him. She was an eco-terrorist. He seemed to be a scientist involved in, like, going green and trying to do things like that. And they didn't like it. They were a corporate thing, I guess. And, you know, it was like a reverse eco-terrorist. I don't know. I really don't know. And the other thing is, you don't even have a setup, because you end with Naomi and Jax fucking bantering back and forth. And that's where, can we have another thing? And can we change the subject? Do you think Wonder Woman's breasts are real, like you said? And then you go, you don't even have a before. You don't have where you have Midas first, like, I knew a man once, you know, shit like that. You have no setup where you have this. And I just want to know, you see him as a scientist, right? He's there. Yeah. It doesn't seem fully tech, but it I guess it's somewhat. Why is he called Midas? Can you tell me this?
The only reason he's called Midas, because after he was transformed, is that when he touches you, it burns right through you. It's the Midas touch. I know it's not Midas.
Midas touch.
I know this.
It's so bad.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, he burns you only because he's a toxic Avenger. That's all he is. And if he touches you, you get burned by toxic waste. Why isn't he just toxic? Why isn't he's called Midas? That don't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense, and that's the name of the trade. But yeah, you get this where he basically, like you said, and even the dialogue in this flashback of his origin, he's like, he's talking about himself, I guess, and thinking back at what he did, and then he's like, relax, I don't bite. What? Never been on a date before? Interesting. I find it fascinating. Tell me more. No, I said come up for coffee, but what I meant was, and it's like this really, it's supposed to be like him scattering his thoughts about what happened. It's awful. It's terrible. So bad.
And all you get is that they blow up his freaking, like, you know, his facility with him in it, and he runs out to the freaking toxic waste on fire, a lot like Swamp Thing when he got turned into, Alec Holland got turned into Swamp Thing.
It's exactly, and then they even know that and say, remind you of the Holland incident? Not that he was anywhere close to Holland's genius, and now I'm thinking, who is doing the talking now? Because, you know, is he remembering what he heard on the radio then, or the TV? Because it doesn't make any goddamn sense. But then you go, and now we fully see him. He is a monstrosity. I don't know how. I don't even know how he lived. I mean, at least you have Alec Holland that is part of a mystical thing, and
he's part of the toxic.
Yeah, he's part of the toxic. He's just everywhere he goes.
The Parliament of Toxic.
The Parliament of fucking shit. He's like a living toxic shit fucking thing. And he goes, and he's mad. He's mad, and he's going to go and attack fucking Oliver Queen. And this is against their plan as well. But he just jumps in, and really, he actually wants Green Arrow. Green Arrow.
He knows that Oliver Queen. They have a connection where Oliver Queen might be working with Green Arrow with the Q Corps and shit like that.
Yeah.
So they kidnap Adrian. Like, run, little man. You go get Green Arrow. But
it's just stupid because Green Arrow. Then Oliver's there. Adrian's there. He looks awful in front of her because he runs. You know, he's like, run away, little boy. And then you have the dialogue between Midas and Adrian's just like, oh, it'd be unfortunate if I had to. To you, perhaps a degree of property damage will God damn it, spit it out. But yeah, Oliver as Green Arrow shows up, and they're just gonna fight. And there's this whole thing of Midas with this big thing of him being Arrow is very territorial. He throws that out again. But it's basically Oliver fighting Midas, but Midas is toxic waste. He can't have anything hurt him, really, far as Oliver can tell. And it's just a long, drawn-out fight while you have Naomi fucking snarky comments while they're going and trying to figure out how to defeat him. But anything else to say of this?
No, I'm telling you, he just keeps shooting arrows in the freaking, Midas. The arrows go in and through him type of thing. And then his body just burns away the freaking, I can't even think what the hell they're called, but the entire body of the arrow.
Yeah.
The shaft, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just this over and over again as they fight back and forth, like you said, and we get Naomi in his fucking ear, just so yelling at him, like, you got to get out of there. And like, Oliver not doing it, and then getting thrown on his goddamn back, and Midas going to burn through his chest. And the thing is, this is one of the weirdest parts, because we already know that Midas is this toxic waste up. Anything he touches, it burns through. We have seen it in the background of things he has already touched, and he can even rip through fucking walls of brick and steel and shit like this. He has his hand on top of Green Arrow for a little while. It barely burns his goddamn costume.
Yeah. Yeah, this.
And he finally gets out of the fight by grabbing an arrow at the last possible minute, a sonic arrow, jamming it through the bottom of Midas's jaw so it goes into his mouth, and then the sonics freaking knock him out.
Yeah, yeah, that's about it. The Banshee arrow, Aaron.
The Banshee arrow.
Yeah, and then he finds himself at the butt end of a gun, and...
And yeah, Desert Rose. Desert Rose. God damn you, Blood Rose is there.
Blood
Rose. And freaking,
Blood Rose just shows up.
And she
He's got toxic
him.
Waste all over him. And yeah, she shoots the side of his face.
And it's a decent scene at the end, because I'm telling you, at this one part, it's a cliffhanger where he has the gun, and we get back in, she pulls the goddamn trigger, and Naomi's like, why are you egging her on? Why does it seem like you want to get shot? And she pulls the trigger, and I'm like, holy shit, she just shot. But no, it's a graze to the side of his head, which
he puts
a Band-Aid on, he's fine.
Yeah, and he explains that, well, when you're doing this and you're, what's it called? If they talk a lot, you know they don't want to kill you, so you can egg them on and get them to do things. And that's why you had the call out. Where it's like, do you know these guys, the superhuman community? Do you have friends? Naomi says, and Oliver's like, friends? I don't know any superhuman community. Oh, I met a merman once. That count, and that's where you have that call out to the Justice. It's just weird.
And on this issue, we have Ignatius Calero penciling this, and the artwork takes a dive in my mind.
Yeah, it does take a little bit.
When there is a close up on Oliver's face, it looks like John Romita Jr. art for how bulbous the nose is.
How square, and even the he definitely goes with the instead of having shading done by the coloring, it's by the lines that really drives me nuts. But yeah, they figure out, that's when Naomi says, listen, I figured out that this Blood Rose, she's not a human. It's not a metahuman.
She's a robot, and she has a distinct energy signature that we can follow now.
Yeah, it's a robot, and basically you have to fill in the blanks then that Midas, he wants a lady. He made a robot that's supposed to be, that will follow orders. She seems to be a thinking robot, Eric. Because, she seems to even like, oh, I know too much and things like that at one point. But even the point, now you get the idea that Midas was even hinting at, like, you're going against your fucking programming at the point where she went and did stuff that she wasn't supposed to.
But
this
we
is,
don't
he,
really
no,
know.
No, we
I'm
don't.
Saying,
this is me besides, saying I'm getting with it. Yeah,
besides
and then,
for one thing where we see that it looks like Oliver Queen had a freaking, on the cover of, some kind of tech magazine. Stuns Tech Fair. So it looks like maybe Q Corps designed her because
designed
it looks like
her,
she's
maybe.
There because
yeah,
it
that looks
like
her. And now is that also that she is a robot built with the AI from that lady who ended up, we don't know. We don't know.
I don't know anything because it's never discovered. Nope. Discussed here.
No. Oliver shows up. They trace the signature. They trace her signature. Show up at this, you know, the docks where they have the shipping container. And now they're just going to fight again. It's just going to be a full fight. And you have the whole idea. Now, Midas, you obviously know that he is in love with Blood Rose and all this stuff. But, yeah, as you go. Now,
I will tell you, though, Midas looks badass in the sky.
He does. He does. But it's just – I just don't know enough about him to even care. You know what I mean? They try to even make him a little sympathetic when you had that backstory of how he was kind of used because he was a geek. He never had a date and things like that. I don't feel any bad for him. Plus, he looks awful. I mean, he looks great, but it's awful. But basically, they figure out the way to defeat him is basically to use an arrow that is used to get rid of toxic waste.
And the thing is, if you go back to the way that backstory that, you know, Midas was thinking about how he became this monster, it really seems to be the thing that he was working on when they blew up the goddamn facility.
Yeah. So whatever was going on. But
still, but they never really spell that out.
No, that's the problem is you don't really spell it out. Now, he ends up pretty much decapitating, rips off Blood Rose's freaking head, the robot head, and brings it to Midas, who's, you know, he's all upset about it. But it also – is that the remote bomb that they – I don't – because it's weird because he says, you know – let's go. I'll be the judge of that. You know, it's all over. And then Midas seems that you will not. And then the self-destruct is going. It seems to be Naomi. And those are – did they set a bomb?
My mind, Midas set off a bomb.
That's I thought that it was her head. That if she gets decapitated like that and initiates almost like what he had set up or what it was set up earlier with that skin graft where the heads – you know, burn up, right. But it's weird that it seems like it's being told to him by Naomi, like they intercepted the, you know, the signature. I got so confused, but I thought that it was actually the, you know, the robot head of Blood Rose, but I don't know because
Green Arrow blew her up with an exploding arrow and then tossed the head over, and it seems like at this point Midas just feels defeated because the one thing he cared about was Blood Rose, and now that she's gone, fuck this. I'm going to take you out with me, Green.
Yeah,
Island.
I know, but the
self-destruct.
The reason that I say it though is he's not where is the thing that he's hitting the self-destruct? All he's doing is sitting there where Oliver's looking, and there's a head. And Midas is looking at the head, and then all of a sudden you get in Oliver's ear, self-destruct in 3, 2, and he turns around and runs, but I don't see Midas ever do anything but stand there. So that's why I thought that maybe there was something in the programming that was supposed to be why we saw that initial thing of the heads burning up. I just don't know where this bomb would be because he doesn't move. Stands there looking at this head and never moves.
Well, he puts it on a table inside the shipping container, so maybe there was a button there.
I don't even see him put it on a table. The last thing I see, he's holding it. He says, "You will not," and he's holding the head when all of a sudden self-destruct in 3, 2, he's still holding the head, it seems, in his hands. I'm confused because I don't think he ever does put it down. You see that little table there, but I don't think he puts it down. I don't know what's going on. It blows up. Basically, Oliver thinks that, you know, fucking Midas is dead and all this, but, you know, we find out through this thing where Oliver's trying to, you know, he's getting there. He's trying to think of what's going on. He's talking to Naomi. He cuts off the deal. He wants some alone time. He pulls a beer out of his fucking...
Is it a fucking tall boy or is this just
I think
an energy
drink? It's funny, too, because do you see where it is when he pulls it out? It's actually part of his belt. This was part of his utility belt. I'm thinking it's a beer because the way it fizzes up. And he's like, oh, never a dull moment for you, Seattle. This one's on you. And he's being looked at through a, you know, binoculars and things like, there you see him as well as you do. Zoom in. Oh, so casual. Is that a blackhead? Don't be ridiculous. He's perfect. Absolutely perfect. And that, you know, they're going to go and like, hey, he took care of that freaky chick and that monster like they were nothing. And this is the villains that are setting up. It's Skylark, Eric, is who it's going to be. And they are triplets.
I have no idea because it's at the end, like, find out who was watching Green Arrow. Yeah. And the next day I'm like, no, not
going to. And it's the Innocenti thing. And that's why you have that weird back and forth. They're actually triplets. They're daughters of King Lear. Innocenti's first deal is Skylark and King Lear against Oliver. And, you know, it ends up with basically you see the end scene is basically straight out. The epilogue is basically out of a horror movie where, you know, you can't kill them. You can't kill Midas, Eric, and he's rebuilding fucking Limbo. And there you go. He's rebuilding his love of his life. There you are, Eric. It's over. It's so bad. It is so bad. I would not suggest this.
We got no answers to anything.
Yeah, I would not suggest this for anybody. I would say, and I'm looking, it's about 130 pages long, I would say, of actual story going on. I think 30 of it is story. The rest, 100 pages of fights and him just shooting arrows at people with willy-nilly without you knowing what the villains are or who they are or what they do. The arrows really do not make – like, I'm telling you, that's where I do like a Green Arrow story where Oliver's trying to figure out – and I even like when we had Ben Percy in the Rebirth when they were showing those flashbacks when Roy was there with him,
right.
When he first became Red Arrow and he was making the arrows and Oliver didn't know what they were and he'd shoot them at – you can't shoot – you know, you can't hit electricity on an electricity villain.
Yeah.
You know, it was fun and you get that. And then when you see, oh, electricity arrow, you have this and you have that and he could use that and you get the boxing glove and all that where they had a little call out in here, but it was stupid. But yeah, without knowing these villains, I got nothing. You didn't really set up how long Oliver has been Green Arrow, which that's fine. The problem is the most fleshed out character to me really was Emerson.
Yeah.
And you were supposed to hate him, I guess, and I didn't. And it was just one more step of me hating Oliver and Green Arrow. I would not have come out of
this. It just became filler for this whole side story of Oliver Queen that we never went anywhere with this first trade. It was just the idea that he was losing his company because he was a piece of shit slacker.
Yeah, and again, when did the TV show start? Do you remember the, you know, what year that would have been?
2013.
So this is my point.
2012.
I didn't want to sound like an idiot saying this, but at this point, the New 52 starts. Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, not the most popular of characters. He's a fringe character at this point. Now, the TV show changed that a lot. But you're coming out of the gate with a book that some may even look at like, oh, this isn't going to be, you know, lasting too long, or I hope it's good. If it's good, it will. But at this point, I am actually shocked. We actually said I like Jeff Lemire's run, or Lemire, however you pronounce it. But
Hoss & Pepper Corporate.
I don't know how it lasted that long. I really don't, because after the 6 issues, you're already at a creative team change after 3 issues. Keith Giffen came on, I thought made it worse. I know you like the Midas story. At least he had, you know, this villain.
Like the character
so
of Midas.
Bad.
They don't. In my mind, they explored him a lot, but I don't know if I filled in the gaps and made this amazing thing in my head over the years that I've been thinking about this. But
it's tough.
They don't give you anything here. You have you have a cool looking character who's a toxic waste that can burn everything. I'm like, that's cool. Besides that. It's not anything.
Yeah, like I said, usually you get a character, and when you get the name, you can be like, ooh, that's why that – you never find out why. You never really do find out. Like you said, it's because when he touches people, they burn. Don't sound like no Midas touch to me.
The Midas of shit.
It's funny, too. In the notes at the end of this trade, you had told me they have sketches and things and where you have Midas, which is a pretty cool sketch of Midas. It has, here are artist Dan Juergens' early takes on the gruesome, tragic Midas. I'm like, I didn't get no tragic. I get what you're saying, but geez, it's just not good. What would you give it, Eric?
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, when we started this out before we ended up talking about it, we had a score set in our head, and I was like, you know, between a 5.5 and a 5.8, I think I just have to go down to a fuck you 5. I'm telling you, I like the art.
It's not good enough, though.
It's not good enough to save this initial 6 issues, because the story you're told, you have a YouTube gang that wants to get famous for killing Green Arrow, which is just kind of annoying. And then you get jump into which this whole trade is named after, Midas and fucking Blood Rose. You don't have any idea what's going on with them or what their plans are in general.
Yeah. It's so bad. I'll give it a
fuck you
5
for a Green Arrow. God damn it. That's a shame.
It's a story
I remember really enjoying.
Yep. Fuck you 5 for me as well. Like you said, the art's good. It just can't save it. You don't have any – I'm glad this was one that I told you I was going to buy all the trades as we as they approach and whatever, and I couldn't get a hold of this one. God damn it, I'm lucky. I ended up having the individual issues. It's just nonsense.
Well, even thinking, people love, you're talking about, you know, Jeff Lemire and shit, or Lemire, and people love that whole outsider war kind of thing going on. I was not a fan. I don't think I like Adrian Sorrentino's art for it. That's the real big thing. And the whole idea of the different like clans and shit like that, like the Arrow clan, the Sword clan, like, all of that, it didn't interest me. So I dropped off. I picked up the first issue of it. Didn't like it. Didn't pick it back up again until that was over. And I think it was Andrew Kreisberg. I think the TV people came in.
They came in to write it a little.
King and shit like that. And they brought in some other characters like Felicity Smoke and shit like that.
Yep.
And I jumped on the review with that. But even that wasn't great. And then we got Ben Percy on the goddamn book at that point. I'm like, I don't know how any of this survived because it pretty much, you know, for my personal opinion, it was all garbage.
Now, you will say,
Lemire Outsider War.
Do you agree, though?
At least you have that.
Yeah,
I think it's all garbage.
But like this compared to Ben Percy's Rebirth, that Rebirth's 100 times better. I mean, it actually makes me like, okay, at least we're getting something good. And I'll give Ben Percy credit now that his Rebirth run in general, because Lemire, I keep saying Lemire, but we had it this week where they were getting shade on Josh. So his run was very limited. It was very brief. So I would have to say that since the New 52 started, Ben Percy's Rebirth run has been the best run.
Ben Percy's freaking New 52 run was terrible.
It was terrible.
It ended the freaking New 52 run. And when he was announced for Rebirth, I was so afraid. It is so much better than anything we got in my mind. Because I'm telling you, like the Outsider War stuff.
Yeah, I love
it. I haven't read the whole thing. I've read
it's probably
a couple
my second or third favorite.
Things, but
yeah, it's probably my second or third favorite arc of the New 52. That's how much I liked it. So hopefully it stands when we'll never get there.
Maybe I'll go back and read it in general because you really had rave reviews about it. I just kind of got in, didn't like what I saw, and got out. So maybe it is really good, and maybe that is the standard, like, you know, the freaking like the one point of this whole series that was good. I don't know. So from what I see, from what I know,
Everything was bad because, we go from here and then Nocenti jumps on the book until Lemire gets on it. But, Eric, that's the end. I do want to mention, if you want to go to our Patreon account, go to www.patreon.com/weirdscience. And if you do, you can get a advanced early access to the next episode of the New 52 review. So when we put up the weeks, you know, we do this every 2 weeks. When the one goes up on Sunday for the general public, you'll be able to already jump on the next one 2 weeks early. So if that interests you, just go over and check it out. We have a bunch of other shows as well. Eric, you know what we have next in line for the New 52 review? We have, Eric, you ready?
I'm ready
to keep it going? You want something good? You want something that you're going to like? We have Wonder Woman Volume 1 Blood, which is great. I'll tell you right now, I love that, and I have reread it and loved it again. So at least we have that. And I just because we've been down the last two, Stormwatch and now this Green Arrow, I just want to give you the next four, just to get you excited, Eric. Okay? The next four are Wonder Woman Volume 1 Blood. Mm-hmm. That's the next one. Then after that, we have Batman Detective Comics Volume 1 Faces of Death.
Nice.
And that's a big Joker thing. We see how
and the doll maker.
And the Merry Men. Then we have one that people are kind of conflicted on, but we've been looking forward to read. Red Lanterns Volume 1, Blood and Rage.
That's I didn't read the Peter Milligan run,
some
so I'm
people
excited
love
about that.
And it's funny, some people, because Charles Soule came on later and everybody jumped on and loved it, there were those that were mad because they liked Peter Milligan more, that it was more of a harsh title and things like that. And then after that, Eric, Batwoman Volume 1 Hydrology that Jess read and loved. So really, hopefully, as far as our memory serves us, we have four pretty good ones in a row. I will also tell you, I think that Batman Detective Comics is like one of those that's like 8 issues, 9. It's crazy.
It's something crazy.
It kind of goes full circle. Then the Batwoman, for some reason, is only 5, Eric. So it'll all work out in the wash.
You know what this Green Arrow first trade really needed more of?
What's that?
Jack Hawksmore.
I was going to I didn't know what you were going to say because I really don't know what it needed more of. It just needed something different. How about more of an Oliver and Green Arrow that I liked?
It'd be nice.
That I could get behind and actually seem like a good guy who just, you know, they didn't even push. He didn't push enough, especially J.T. Kroll, because it seemed like that was his idea with Emerson. Didn't even push the idea like that Oliver actually wanted to be more a part of Queen. Like,
well, not even that. They didn't push any of why he wanted to be Green Arrow. Yeah, there was no talk, no fucking Robert Moyer Queen talk.
Yeah, you never had that idea of like, you know what, I would like to be more involved in my father's company, my family's company, but since that island, I got to do what's right, and I learned a different lesson then. I mean, I think we have to wait until probably the Zero issue to that. I never read the Green Arrow Zero issue as far as I remember.
I believe I did.
Actually, I think we did because we were talking about when he
0 year tie-in and I don't remember which is which.
It eventually way down the line gets good for a little bit. I think you will like Lemire's deal, but we'll stop this. Eric, what do we say at the end of the New 52 review podcast?
That was the New 52 and now we're through.